contact periodically? Or is he one who is hidden deep inside of you, and you have this registration that he's inside of you, no matter where you are, what you're doing? No matter where you are and what you're doing. Maybe you can read point B, under one. Although our God is omnipresent, omnipotent, and full of forgiveness, he is also the hiding God, as the book of Esther indicates. And then point D. God did countless things in the midst of the children of Israel, and countless things in their personal lives, yet he concealed himself. He was ceaselessly working, yet he was always hidden. Amen. Yet he was always hidden. He did countless things in the midst of the children of Israel, and countless things in their personal lives. This is the God that we have, yet he was always hidden. We consider the Lord Jesus coming down to the earth. I wish there were like fireworks. I wish there were so many. There's like a billboard saying, the God of the universe has finally been born. He's here. Let's all worship him, right? That's actually what most people, and even the Jews at that time, were seeking. But how did he come down to this earth? He was born in a manger. He didn't even get a hospital bed. He didn't even get a normal bed, but he was born into a manger, a stall, into the feeding trough of an animal. How hidden is that? And then even being raised up in Nazareth, a despised place, and even down to his characteristics, his visage, his face was marred. He wasn't someone like lovely to look at. Like, you wouldn't spend your time staring at him in that kind of way. But yet, the God of the universe, the hidden God, he was hidden in this man, Jesus Christ.
Amen.
This is the kind of God that we have. And he does do things in the midst of us, but he's also working vigorously and mightily inside our personal lives. But he wants us to know him in such a way and to register him in our daily lives in such a way. And there's a burden, there's a focal point that I hope is brought out and be paid attention to. But let's go through the rest of the scripture reading. Ephesians 3:16-17. This we'll have to flip to our Bibles. It's not in the day. Whoever has it, maybe you can read it together. Ephesians 3:16-17. Ready, go.
That he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with power through his Spirit into the inner man, that Christ may make his home in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love.
I hope through these scripture reading, we can trace that the hidden God is operating in us. I'll read Philippians 2:13 to you. Philippians 2:13. For it is God who operates in you, both the willing and the working for his good pleasure.
Amen.
It is God who operates in you. He's inside of us and he's operating. Saints, do we believe that? We believe it because it's inside the Word of God. So we say amen to his Word.
Amen.
But he's also working this out inside of us to a point where we realize no matter what we feel, as long as we're turning to our spirit, being strengthened into our inner man, we'll have this registration, God is operating in me. Even though I can't feel it, even though it feels like he's not even there, there's something inside of us. Actually, faith rises up inside of our being to realize that it is God that operates in me, the willing and the working for his good pleasure. And even this part is considering the willing and the working. There are many times in my life and daily life, really, let's just focus on daily life, because that's what God is after, is us in our normal daily lives. He's operating in us, the willing and the working. 2 Thessalonians 3:5 says that the Lord may direct your hearts into the love of God.
Right.
There's a directing of our hearts into God as love, and also into the endurance of Christ. Well, here I want to focus on the Lord direct your hearts. Many times we may speak to one another, Shepherd, turn to your spirit, turn your heart to the Lord. So, or maybe there isn't anyone in your daily life to tell you that. Maybe you're at school, maybe you're at your job, just doing the things that are very, very normal, they're mundane, really. But maybe you have this recognition, it's like, you know what, I should turn to my spirit.
Amen.
No one told you, actually someone did tell you, but it seems like no one told you, and it feels like it came from yourself, like, I should turn to the Lord right now. But actually, it is God who operates in you, the willingness to turn to Him and open to Him. God is doing that in us. Hallelujah. God is operating in us in such a mighty way, in our hearts. Luke 18, 1 through 8. Maybe you can read Luke 18, 8. This is on day 6. Ready, go.
When the Son of Man comes, will He find faith on the earth?
Will He find faith on the earth? There's millions upon millions of believers, dear believers, who have accepted the Lord into their hearts. We can't say that they don't have faith. The Lord, as faith, entered into them when they received the Lord. He's the author and perfecter of their faith. But here it says, when the Son of Man comes, will He find faith on the earth? I hope this is brought out, but the preceding 7 verses talks a lot about prayer. This faith here is our persistent faith for our persistent prayer. And this faith is being developed inside of us. The faith in our daily lives, to know the Lord, to know our God in a hidden way, as the one who is I am to us, who can be everything to us. He wants to be known to us in such a way, but it requires us with a turned heart to open to Him and even to behold Him, that we would want to live in this kind of way, live one life together with the Lord. I appreciate what the sister shared from her enjoyment of SST. When we pray, we don't have to pray to God as if He's miles away from us. He's inside of us. We pray to the one who's inside of us. In our prayer, this is actually just us entering into God and God entering into us. We're becoming mingled in this kind of way. As we pray about dozens, hundreds, thousands of things to Him, whether great or small, in this way, this faith is being developed in us. Even though we may not see His operating in us, or maybe there doesn't seem like there's an outward result, God is bringing us into Himself as the hidden God.
Amen.
Maybe we can start off with... Sorry, James, you can go first.
Oh, yeah, sure. Yeah, so following what just said, you know, like the passage that I enjoyed the most this week was day 2, which I felt like encompassed much of the burden for this week. So from this passage, we're shown that the Lord is a God who hides Himself. And in Isaiah 45:15, it says... Surely you are a God who hides Himself, O God of Israel, the Savior. In all our personal circumstances, right? Sorry, the Lord is always operating behind the scenes. And He is sovereign in all His arrangements, yet He is hidden. In 2 Corinthians 5:7, it says, for we walk by faith, not by appearance. If we, you know, exercise and operate by our inner being, and we walk by faith but not by sight, you know, we will realize that God is always operating behind the scenes, even though he cannot be seen.
Amen.
This hidden tendency of our God furthermore says a lot about the nature of our God. In Matthew 6:1 it says, "But take care not to do your righteousness before men in order to be gazed at by them. Otherwise you have no reward with your Father who is in the heavens." So this verse shows that our God is hidden because He is one who despises ostentation. This is very much in contrary to man's natural tendency because, you know, as man, we like it, you know, when our deeds are seen.
Right.
And in all things we do, we want to be uplifted as a result of doing those deeds. And if our deeds are not seen, then it feels like there's no point in doing it.
Right.
But, however, when we receive the Lord and experience Him, you know, as our inward reality, we will really experience, you know, His true nature, which, and by nature, the Lord is pure in all His intentions. And He does not do things for the purpose of seeking outward praise. Another part of this passage relating to the Lord's nature of being hidden is the matter of the Lord speaking to us inwardly. Even the Lord's voice is very much hidden. And the voice comes from the deepest part of our being, and it's very gentle and quiet. And many times, it feels seemingly like a part of your own feelings. In fact, the Lord is always speaking to us. And, you know, the reason why we don't hear His voice sometimes is because we have too much traffic inwardly. You know, there's too many things in our occupying our hearts that's making, you know, too much voice, too much noise for us to hear Him. So in order to hear His voice, the Lord often needs to empty us out, so we are quiet inwardly. Only then can we hear the Lord's quiet yet continuous voice.
Amen.
So, you know, as we can see here, our God is a God who's hidden in both His deeds and His speaking. So, you know, like drawing back to what Dan mentioned earlier, right? He said, like, you know, many times, like, you know, there are many ways we know our God as, like, the seen God, as in an objective way. Like, He's really mighty and all-knowing, maybe, right? But actually, I pray that the Lord would continue to reveal Himself as a hidden God in our everyday experiences.
Amen. We can start with 3 minutes.
Amen.
This is a wonderful message, by the way. I was amazed that it was even brought out at all, like last year. When I, after considering this, I realized that there's at least two aspects. One is very much encouraging, kind of like what Dan and James brought out, to see that just because we don't see something happening outwardly does not mean that God's not doing anything. In fact, actually, day two makes it very clear. The more real His work is, the more hidden it is. The more definite it is, the less obvious it is. So that's a big encouragement to us to see that.
Amen.
I'm like, hey, Lord, why don't you, kind of like the widow in Luke 18, like, Lord, why don't you doing anything? And we think He's silent towards us. But in reality, He's doing so much and we don't even realize it.
Right.
Until maybe like years later, we look back, wow. I've had quite a number of experiences where I look back, wow, Lord, you know, I didn't
even
notice that. And then the Lord just, it caused me to love Him a lot more.
Amen.
There's another side, though, that James kind of hinted at, which is very convicting, exposing, which is, you know, because our Father, our God and Father, His temperament, His disposition is the hidden God. And as we were enjoying earlier this morning, we are the sons of the Father. We are the many sons of God. And therefore, we ought to express Him, be the same as Him in life and in nature. So in the same way, we should also express Him in this way, in the sense that we have that same temperament, that we love to do things without people seeing us, without ostentation, without getting praise from men. The Lord made it very clear in Matthew 6 what that looks like. The reason why He was speaking to us, it wasn't because, oh, this is just the law that you need to do. It's because this is what God's children, this is how they live. This is who they are. A child of God does not give alms or praise or fast so that other people can see them. They do it because they know that their God is watching them. Their God and Father sees them in secret, and He repays them in secret.
Amen.
I think, real quick, I was reminded of this wonderful illustration of trees, like in plants. You see like these gigantic trees, like I think like one of the don't even know the name of it, like the redwoods or whatever in California. They're like taller than some buildings. But we need to realize that as much as you see above the ground, it's just as much, if not more, underground that we don't see. And that was really touched me, like, because you can immediately apply this to our situation. Like, Lord, as much as I pray, I function, I sing, I, like, praise you in the meetings, how much of the experience that I have when no one sees me? I think Dan brought up, this is about our daily living, right? It's not just about when we come to the meetings, amen, praise the Lord, hallelujah, and then we go home, we just go back to the way we always live, and it's as if God's not there at all in our daily living. But I was really touched, like, Lord, I want to contact the Lord, spend time with the Lord, have such a daily living with the Lord to the extent that more of my experiences are hidden.
Amen.
Then when I come to, obviously I come here, I'm sharing a little bit, but I want the Lord to work in me to such an extent that I have so much just between me and the Lord.
Amen.
That no one else sees.
Yes.
Anyways.
Amen.
The more you love someone, the more you just like have any like hidden, intimate experiences with someone, the closer you are.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, this is what the Lord wants with us.
Amen.
He wants us to have such a hidden life with the Father.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord. You have read the book of Esther. This story is amazing. Actually, I was reading it, and this is amazing, right? How God, and when he was sharing, it actually reminded me that sometimes we're like Thomas. We need to see to believe. And Thomas said, I need to touch. And when they told him, oh, the Lord came, he appeared. He said, I need to touch him. I need to touch his side. You know? And then the Lord appeared. He said, oh, really? Come here, touch me. Okay. So anyway, this story of Esther is happening in this big kingdom, was Ahasuerus, something the king, who has a lot of provinces, right? And this, he invited all the governors from all the places, right, to see his kingdom. But he wanted to show his queen, Sheba, I think was her name, but. He called Sheba, she disobeyed. He didn't want to come. And then the advisor said, well, you actually should deport her. I mean, release her. Take it out. Get another queen. And mysteriously, the Lord put Esther.
Amen.
How? This huge, orphan Jewish woman, you know, to be a queen is not, it wasn't that easy at that time. You had to go through a lot of things, but the Lord fixed everything, right? So in his ways, how he fixed it, Esther became a queen. Now, why God did this? To save his people.
Amen.
You see, this is a hidden God. A God who hides himself. In this book of Esther, there is no mention of the name of God at all. It should be a mention. But there is no mention of God at all. This is the hidden God that we have.
Amen.
And as Jerry is showing, see, sometimes we go through a lot of tribulations, a lot of trials, a lot of things, and sometimes we lose hope, right? And we think, oh my goodness, God, the Lord doesn't hear us. He doesn't hear our prayers. He's not doing anything. But actually, He's acting. He's operating behind the scenes, you know? And really, you know, we really need to understand that this hidden God is also silent. He works in silence and secretly, you know? And many times, through my experience in life, many times I cry out to the Father, you know, to Him, for many things that happens. And that time I think He doesn't listen to me. But then silently things start fixing itself. Working out, I say, you were there. You say, He's a hidden God, but He's present. So we need to really realize that this had to do with our faith too. You see, I hope somebody shared about the widow and the unrighteous judge, you know, it's a typology of what God is, because that's long. But the Lord actually, let me see my
time.
You got 5 minutes. Okay, so this hearing God actually is operating. It's really operating, and we need to see that no matter what we go through, first for the Lord to hear our prayers, like this widow prayed,
so hard and bother the judge. We need to bother the Lord in prayer, right? But need to bother Him.
Right.
But the problem why He doesn't listen is because of our conscience. See? Conscience, like our conscience and faith go together. They go together. If our conscience is not clean, we have problems in our conscience, resentment with other people, problems with brothers, problem with this one, with that one, our family members, or co-workers, or in school. If our conscience has all these problems, our faith is not going to grow. And this faith is different from the faith in the beginning, that the linking faith that the morning revival was talking about. The linking faith is for what? For the faith to grow. You know, He is the perfecter of faith. So we really need to pray and humble to the Lord, say, Lord, I need help. We need help. Mm-hmm. I repent that I have a lot of things in my conscience that you need to clear it up. You see, because our conscience not only need to be clean, but it need to be pure. Clean from a lot of garbage, a lot of things, you know, things that we do, we see in the internet and YouTube, things that we watch. But that's cleaning our conscience. We need to actually purify. How can we purify our conscience? By giving ourselves to Him completely. And that's not as simple. Only praying fervently will help us.
Amen.
First, I enjoy that our God is omnipotent, but He is also the hiding God. He is always working. Romans 8:28 says that we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to His purpose. Sometimes we may see, we may think that, oh, it seems the Lord is not doing anything. We just pray, but then, yeah, I really relate to Jerry's sharing that after many years, we look back and we really see that He has been working. Like our family, we came to the U.S. in 2020, but now when I look back, I have to admit that He started working at least 4 years before that. Yeah, and when I put things together, many things, even the unfavorable situations that happened at that time, they all work together to bring us to this country.
Amen.
So we should not lose heart and we should be faithful in our prayer. And it is not just us who pray, but also the Lord is praying for us. Hebrews 7:25 says that He lives always to intercede for them. So the Lord is interceding for us.
Right.
Amen. And my second enjoyment is also in day two, there is a sharp contrast between God and us. God likes concealment, but us, we like to display. God is almighty, but He does not crave outward manifestation.
Amen.
How about us? We cannot be content with our manifestation. So this has been a reminder for me, also a warning for me during the week. There are many times when I was tempted to show my little achievement to other people, but then there's a silent voice telling me to stop. And I feel that, am I magnifying the Lord or am I expressing myself?
Right.
Sometimes, well, for example, we want to boast our spirituality. When we speak in the meetings, we want to hear loud amens. So inside of us, when we speak, we have an amen meter. We want to measure the loudness of the amens. Yeah. But in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, we have a pattern of Apostle Paul. He says that, I know a man in Christ 14 years ago. Such a one was caught away to the third heaven. So Paul had a wonderful experience, but he didn't reveal it until 14 years later. So we need to be grounded and rooted in the Lord. But it's not always necessary for us to show our roots to other people. It's just between us and the Lord. Amen. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. This week, the message to us, our God is a God who has a purpose.
Right.
And how to accomplish His purpose is in a hidden way.
Amen.
What means hidden? Hidden is something that exists, but we cannot see it. Mm-hmm. That is hidden. In our environment, many things are hidden. We know it exists, but we cannot see it. For example, the signal from our telephone is hidden, but exists. Our God is the same things. Like knowledge. When we go to school, we gain knowledge. Knowledge is exists, but it's hidden. Our God is the same thing. He exists, but it's hidden.
Amen.
And he wants to accomplish his purpose in a hidden way.
Oh,
yeah. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Not like us, we want Amen. To show off, but yeah. our God wants to accomplish his purpose in a hidden way.
Amen.
And in this message, God show us he wants to accomplish what? In this universe, God only wants to do one thing, that is to gain us as his counterpart.
Amen.
To accomplish this purpose, God doing in hidden way. He raised a lot of environment, like Esther's. We know when God wants to gain us, there is an enemy that wants to destroy us.
Right.
That is the in the Esther stories that right. want to demolish all the Israel.
Right.
But God preserves us in hidden way, and then he show us in this Bible, in this message, show us there is an Esther. And when encounter this difficult environment, Esther mentioned to Mordecai, said, gather in Susa and fast over there.
Right.
It means that when we encounter difficulty, when somebody attacking us,
right.
we need to go back to the Lord.
Amen.
And also, God's raised in environment to make us to unify our brothers and sisters in our family. Might be we are quarreling with our brothers and sisters, but when somebody attacking my brothers, we will unify. So for the environment, difficult environment, we need to praise the Lord. So when there is a difficult environment, we will be unified. We will come together. And also in the Luke's, that is when we saw the enemy attacking us. We know that we cannot conquer them. We cannot overcome them. So we need God to help us to conquer them. At the end, in the Luke's, it mentions we need to be like a widow. Widow that come often to the Lord
Amen.
To develop our linked faith.
Amen.
That is organic faith.
Amen.
When we come to the Lord often, we will grow our faith toward Him.
Amen.
And at the end, we will become Amen. An overcomer. That is to accomplish God's purpose. Overcomers is nothing less. It's a normal Christian, brothers and sisters.
Amen.
Normal Christian is an overcomer. So when we become a normal Christians, God will coming back. That is His purpose, to raise a lot of environment for us to
right.
grow
Amen.
God in us. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
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 Praise the Lord. Amen. Very touched to see the correlation between the hidden God in Exodus and seeing Luke chapter 18, verse 8, when this verse where it says, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on the earth? And I think as everyone has shared, we realize that our God is one who hides himself in our situation, yet he's ceaselessly operating. And so we all pass through certain situations,
Amen.
Difficult environments,
Amen.
And we have to realize that God is still there, and God is still caring for us, yet he might be hiding himself. And so as we pass through these situations, what he is doing is he is developing and perfecting our faith.
Amen.
I appreciated the brother brought out that we see that he is the author and perfecter of our faith.
Amen.
And so what we need to realize is that we need our faith to be developed and perfected in order to have the faith of the overcomer.
Amen.
Actually, in Luke, it says, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on this earth.
Amen.
And what the brother brought out in the message is, this is not our initial faith. We all have faith because he's the author
right.
of our faith. But this is actually the perfected and developed
Amen.
Faith.
Amen.
And so, and it's the faith that comes, that helps us to have this persistent prayer.
Right.
We see in this parable that the widow is us. Actually, the Lord is not here right now.
Right.
And so we are like the widows, and we have to keep coming
Amen.
to the unrighteous judge so that he would come and avenge
right.
On her behalf. And so we are learning to have this kind of faith and this kind of prayer.
Amen.
And so I just appreciated the brother saying, we're learning this, right? We are learning we are realizing as we go through these situations, as we learn that we have the God, the hidden God. Actually, as we pass through things, we're coming to Him. I appreciate it from the outline. We have this linking faith that links us to Christ,
Amen.
All that He is and His unsearchable riches. This is the faith of the overcomers. Actually, Amen. As we pass through our situations, we're just reminded, Lord, keep me coming to You.
Amen.
You are the author and perfecter of my faith. And
Amen.
As that happens, then our faith will develop and it will be perfected. And this is what will bring the Lord back.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. I want to read a short passage from day 2. It says, do not expect anything outward, for the God who hides Himself is at work within your life, and He is working mightily. Your responsibility is to cooperate with Him by responding to His voice within, that gentle, quiet voice. And so this is actually from 1 Kings 19:12. We see that there was a wind that rent the mountains and broke the rocks, but Jehovah was not in the wind. And then there was an earthquake and a fire, but Jehovah was not in those big, outward, powerful things. Instead, He was a gentle, quiet voice.
Amen.
And so in our daily living, even sometimes the voice, it says in the reading, is so much a part of our feelings we can hardly recognize that's God's voice, but that's just who He is. He's very quiet, and He's leading us by the sense of life within.
Amen.
And then the parable in Luke 18, we see that there's a widow and an unrighteous judge, and she has to keep coming to Him, saying, avenge me of my adversary. And so we see that it seems like the Lord is an unrighteous judge because it seems like there's no answer. But really, it's in these times that our faith is perfected.
Right.
As Esther was sharing. And I really enjoy the definition of faith, which is in Hebrews 11.
Amen.
That faith is the substantiation of things hoped for.
Amen.
So the things we hope for, our faith gives substance to those things.
Right.
And it's the conviction of things not seen. So the things which we cannot see, for example, God, or pretty much all spiritual matters we cannot see. Faith is the conviction of these things.
Amen.
It is the very strong and certain belief in the things which we cannot see.
Amen.
And so the 2 takeaways from this week that I got, number 1 is to cooperate with that gentle, quiet voice.
Amen.
And number 2 is to have our faith perfected.
Amen.
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 I also enjoy the same portion of day 6, that our faith needs to be perfected. Luke 18:8 says, when the Son of Man comes, when He finds faith on earth. Because in the beginning, I was thinking that we all have faith, right? We just search on Google, we have 2.2 billion Christians on the earth right now, and we all have faith. And what is the Lord looking for when He comes back? Actually, He's looking for the perfected, mature, and overcoming faith. So in the one paragraph I really enjoyed, that says that brother says that hope that when the Lord comes back, He can find you and me as a believing ones who always trust in the Lord, not in ourselves, and who always have no assurance in ourselves, but assurance in the Lord.
Amen.
Our full assurance is in the Lord, and this is a linking faith. The faith qualifies the overcomers. So this is one of the definition of overcomers. We have assurance, not in ourselves, but in the Lord. So whatever situation we have, whatever problem or troubles we are facing, we always trust in the Lord.
Amen.
We always believe that Jehovah is I am who I am, and we are not. And, you know, this week, one of my friend, a gospel friend, he actually asked me a question. He asked me that,
does the Lord, your Lord, answer your prayers? Actually, it's a very interesting question, because for me, it's yes and no. Because the Lord is not always answering every prayer, right?
Mm.
And He answered the prayers that align with His eternal goal.
Mm.
And but I answer Him that, yes, I do pray everything, every time I have a situation. But the Lord's not always immediately answer my needs, but He will, at the time I pray, He answer with Himself, which is the peace. I will feel the peace. And every time when I pray more, spend time with the Lord more and more, I will gradually know His heart. What's His feelings? What is His eternal goal? What is His plan? So I think this is a faith. Whenever we spend time with the Lord, we pray, we'll gradually know the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
Even though He is hidden, but He wants us to find Him. He wants us to know Him. So it's only happening when we pray, when we spend time with the Lord. So I think this is a burden on day 6. We need to have persistent prayer, because only by this kind of prayer, we can seek the Lord, we can know Him, and eventually our faith can be perfected. And when the Lord comes back, He's looking for this kind of faith.
Hey.
And the faith trusting Him, know Him, and know He is not only hidden, but He is operating every time.
Amen.
So, yeah, saints, we need to persist in prayers every day.
Amen.
Amen.
So, I was enjoying this piece of the Bible, which is Esther. So, and the background was this, like, even though God was a hidden God, right, and he helped His people, but in that scene, it happened still was very, very dangerous, because there was already order, the Bible, kindly says, and throughout every province, wherever the king's commandment and his decree came, there was a great mourning among the Jews, with fasting and weeping and wailing, many lay in sackcloth and ashes, right? So at the beginning, actually, it sounded very, very dangerous, and the situation was really bad, right? And also to solve this situation, also was not straightforward, I would say, right? It's not say Mordecai just told Esther, and then Esther told the king, then it was solved. No,
yes.
Actually. There was a great obstacle there, because Esther said, there was a 30 days, like, because the king has to call Esther so she could come. Otherwise, any man or woman who just on his purpose do that, he or she would be killed, right? So then the Esther replied to Mordecai, and then the verse 14 say, "For if you remain silent at this time, relief and deliverance for the Jews will arrive from some other place, and you and your father's house will perish. And who knows whether you have not come to the kingdom for such a time as this?"
Mm-hmm.
So that in a critical time, the Mordecai just he still has a faith with God. Just tell us to say, even if you don't want to do it, there's other ways, people will be saved. However, who knows? Like, God called each one of us has a purpose,
Amen.
Right? We have to know what we are living for, right?
Amen.
Who knows whether you come this time forward? So then, the verse 16, Esther decided. That was a very, very important decision. And she decided to go assemble all the Jews, and then, the fasting, right? And then she said this, "So I will go into the king," which is not according to the law. Because, Christians, we are doing things according to the law. But there are certain steps, like this one, justified, because millions of Israel will be wiped out, right? In this time, so she would do that not according to the law. So basically, it's and then say, "If I perish, I perish." And she does not know the result. So she chooses to do the best she can according to her faith.
Right.
Right? So that's the challenging part. Sometimes in a situation, we will not act according to the law. We will do our best in a dangerous, difficult situation, do the best according to our faith. And even though that means we may die, he said, I perish, I perish. That's a great courage. And later, and later she did this, and the Lord with her, right? And the things are being turned over. So I just appreciate the faith and the courage in this, you know, in this story.
Amen.
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 Thank you for Brother Richie's share. I used to, I don't understand Esther, who wrote Esther. I saw the Ezra wrote Esther. Actually, it's not. It's Esther's cousin, very old cousin, Mordecai, wrote. There's only one book didn't mention about the God.
Amen.
All these books didn't mention about the God, Jehovah. But this old cousin rewrite the tell us the point. God is the hiding one. Always help us during the secret. And you know, the Israel lost Jerusalem in 586 before Christ. Then after 50 years, 536 before Christ, the first group, we remember Zerubbabel and Joshua, they went back. That's the first group. The second group was Ezra. Ezra, take a lead. That is the 457. During this 77 year, it's empty. Actually, it's not empty. God doing something secret. First, he gave a two prophesy. We still remember the Haggai and the Zechariah, right? They speak. So they back to rebuild the temple. They quit around 20 years. After the 516, they start, the first group go back, 536. 516, they rebuilt Jerusalem. They were so happy, but for fear, God prophesied 70 years reach. But during this time, we forget how 520 and before Ezra, 457. That very important key point come out. Is the book Esther. Amen? During this year. And 487, 484, 474. During this 10 year, Darren was a serious, most strong, powerful during the history. The Ahasuerus, the king, Ahasuerus, built up that empire so big. It's from India to Africa, Ethiopia. They have 120 states. United States only 50 states. You see how powerful during that time. But during that time, you see how God's arrangement, God doing in secret. They get a chance, they dispose to his queen. Then have a chance to let the Jewish, the young virgin Esther come out. Wow, they're always God's arrangement. Amen?
Amen.
God is doing the secret. Right. You know that when that time he built up the capital in the Susa or Susa. That thing is a Abraham hometown, northwest. That place, if you are the children of Abraham, you are crying. 1600 years later. Promise our father Abraham will go to the get a good land, but now we come back to the hometown. Back to the hometown, we'll cry. But God's still doing his work.
I had this question this week. How did the Lord lead us to end the crystallization study of the Bible with the book of Esther? Where there's no mentioning, like Brother Joe said, no mentioning of God. And I was still actually asking this question this morning. And I think I'm starting to realize, maybe it's because the God who hides himself wants to reveal again that in his economy, everything
is related to faith. God's economy exists in the realm of faith. It starts in faith. We didn't receive this faith. We heard it. Faith comes from hearing through the word of Christ. Something of the word generated faith within us. And then as believers, as we're going on in the church life, this faith is being developed. We're learning, right, to spend time with the Father who is in secret and who sees in secret. We're learning, right, like the two men in Matthew 24 or the two women working normal, doing our daily routine. We're learning to live by faith. We're learning to live by another life. We're learning to live by the Son of God who loves me and gave himself up for me. And this is something that is so mysterious, right? When it talks about Christ making his home in our hearts, what does that look like? It's all together in the realm of faith. And then eventually we see in Luke 18, it ends with whether or not that there will be faith found when the Son of Man returns. And so I just, anyways, I'm just so full of wonder that we are being reminded day by day, right, to learn to live and walk, work and serve everything in our lives, right, to be in the realm of faith. And I just feel this is such a word for us today, right? Mm-hmm. Even in the church life, even this morning as we were sitting around the Lord's table, there was just a feeling within me, right, that the Father desires us to worship Him in spirit and in truthfulness.
Amen.
That this is not something outward, but this is something of the Christ that we experience during the week in faith that we can offer for the Father's satisfaction. So I just want to end with this remembrance that I think we will be surprised when the Lord returns who is taken and who is left behind. Because, again, everything in God's economy is a matter of faith. It's when we are taking care of our normal, daily, seemingly mundane routine activities, whether or not we are experiencing this linking faith. I just appreciate it that we have the triune God living in us today.
Amen.
And we just need to contact Him throughout the day,
right,
in this normal, unspectacular way, and so that Christ could really make His home in our hearts.
Amen.
Through faith.
Amen.
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 This week, I learned again that God's temperament is hidden. He has this nature of being hidden. And I sometimes just hope that God is less hidden. I hope that He would answer my prayer right away with a very, very obvious sentence or something like that. But really, from this, we can see that our temperament is diametrically opposed from God's temperament of being hidden. And I was actually just reading Book of Esther, just finished that, and it was a fun story. But really, when I finished reading that, I realized that there is no Jehovah's name mentioned in that whole book.
Right.
Even during the chapters or the verses where Esther talks about we should fast, and we should, like, I forgot the whole sentence, but I think they talk about fasting. And in this time, why do they fast? They fast because they're praying to God, I guess. Right? But God's name was not mentioned.
Yeah.
But is God disappearing? He wasn't. He was still there. He's hidden, and He takes care of the Israelites secretly. Mm-hmm. And in that time, Israelites were scattered. They were dispersed in the Gentiles' nation, and they were in captivity. And I'm sure that it was really hard for them to prove to all the Gentiles that our God, Jehovah, exists. Right? They were in such a difficult situation. But God still saves them. And ultimately, I think Esther became a queen. And then, the whole story, the Israelites were saved. And we also see in Luke 18, this parable, that of the widow talking to this seemingly unrighteous judge. And in the end, it says that when the Son of Man comes, when will he find faith in the earth? The faith here, when the Lord comes back, when he want to find faith in us, this is not the faith that we receive when we first believe in him. I'm sure a lot of saints already covered that. It's not just that, oh, we have faith that we have this life in us, right, and we've been saved. Not right, just this. But it's the linking faith, it's the perfected faith.
Amen.
This is the faith that we will trust him, not ourselves, and we will pray continuously and not lose heart, right, when we cannot see him or his immediate work,
amen,
saving us from our difficulties. And the matter of being an overcomer is just having more faith, more perfected faith in God. To trust that he is who he is, and he has his timeline, and we will not trust ourselves but in him.
Amen.
And we will come to know that God's heart is good toward us in all things big or small, and in all times.
Amen.
And so that our prayers will not stop when we're trapped in any situations.
Amen.
Amen. So we should just ask in Luke 18 says, we'll keep praying.
Amen.
God is the perfecter of our faith, and I hope that when God comes back, he will find this perfected faith in you and I.
Amen.
Guess. I guess this week I was most touched by day 5. And actually, I didn't really read any of these days until, like, literally last night, because I just, like, had an interesting last few weeks. And I think what I appreciate about day 5 is just the fact that, I mean, it says here, right, that it seems that the more I pray for the Lord to vindicate, the less vindication there is, right? And I think this is a very relatable experience. Like, who hasn't prayed more and then just felt like the Lord went farther and farther away? I think this last 2 weeks I've been having a lot of conversations with companions who've been going through crises of faith, like independently. And that's been causing me to have my own internal, like, what's going on here, right? And, you know, for like the longest time I was praying, Lord, make yourself appear to this person in a certain way that they could not deny you.
Mm-hmm.
Or Lord, take away this person's affliction.
Mm-hmm.
You know, cause her medical situation to go away, that kind of thing, right? It's so easy to pray in this way because you're like, well, Lord, if you just do this, then this person couldn't doubt you anymore, right? This person wouldn't have a crisis of faith. This would just all go away, right? So, Lord, why aren't you making yourself there? And it feels like the more they pray, the more you pray, right? It just feels like they're going further and further away from God, right? It feels like the more and more you pray, it seems like the more the enemy is making ground. And then it just causes you to also consider what's going on. But what I was really touched by was actually later in day 5. And this kind of just has been my experience. He wants us to know him as the God who hides himself.
Amen.
And there's just something about this God speaking to us as a quiet voice within our being, right? A voice that we can barely hear, but that is peace to us. This is how God wants us to know him.
Amen.
I was just considering, you know, even as I was praying in this way, like, I just realized, like, if God just answered all these prayers, would we know God? Or would we know God by who he is, by what he's done for us?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, this is the God who took away my husband's sickness. This is the God who appeared to me in a certain way in, like, shining light and glory.
Right.
But saints, I was just so touched that this is not how God wants
right.
to be known. God has a desire. God has a need to be built up with man. And so if God just answered us in this way, I'm not saying that this is like everything, but I was just so touched that actually God wants us to know him in a certain way.
Amen.
And he acts in a hidden way. And that all these things are above our understanding. But saints, at least one thing I know is that the more we pray, even to a God who doesn't seem to listen to us, well, this means that we're spending time with this God. We're hearing this quiet, peaceful voice, this gentle voice within us. And so I don't really know what the Lord is going to do in all these situations. I don't know, you know, maybe my companions will continue to struggle. And even in my own testimony, this is why it took me so long to become a Christian. I thought, oh, how can a righteous God do all these things and just ignore the cries of his people, the cries of humanity? But since I was just so touched that our God has a desire to be known as a
Amen.
God who hides himself.
Amen.
He wants to hide himself. This is his disposition. So who are we to force God to go outside of what his desire is? If we are really people who say that we love God,
that we love God for who He is, then we should be ones who just are saying amen to that quiet voice within us to know and come to Him.
Amen.
To say, God, I want to know who You are and not just what You can do for me.
Amen.
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 Amen. There's also one point in day five that is so true to me. The first point, why our opponent is persecuting us. It seems that our God is not righteous, for He allows His children to be unrighteously persecuted. Yeah, this is so true to me because many times I ask the law, oh law, are you really righteous? If you are, why a lot of bad things are happening on earth? I mean, like thousands and thousands of people, of innocent people are dying every day. They could be believers or non-believers, but they are all innocent and they're still dying and they are killed every day. And I ask the law if you are so powerful, if you are able to do all things, then why did you allow these things to happen? They are bad things. And then I realized that He allowed these things to happen because He doesn't work according to our human logic. He has His own logic, His divine logic, and it's not human logic. And what is bad to us might not be bad to Him. I mean, like, what is fair and right and justice to us might not be fair and right and trusted to Him. And that's why what we are seeing here as a bad thing, they are still happening on earth because God allowed these things to happen. But anyway, whatever bad things may happen, we need to keep praising. I mean,
Amen.
keep praying and keep bothering Him. Just like the parable in Luke 18, right? Like the widow,
right.
Just keep bothering the church, keep causing Him trouble.
Amen.
And then the church he allowed to avenge her, to work for her, not because he wanted to, but because he was bothered by the widow, we need to keep bothering Him like that.
Amen.
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 Praise the Lord. I think I enjoyed really all the sharing this morning. I think the saints really brought out the riches in the Word. I just wanted to end by giving us kind of like a brief looking back of all the messages that we covered, especially in these five books, these last five books of history, First and Second Chronicles, Ezra, Nehemiah, and now we've gotten into the book of Esther.
Right.
And you know why we're ending with Esther. So we see in First and Second Chronicles, you know, the Lord's desire was for the children of Israel to enter into the good land. They would possess the good land. They would have the Lord as their enjoyment.
Right.
We saw that, you know, there was the children of Israel were not always faithful, right? And we learned some lessons that we should not languish in the land, but actually we should cooperate with the Lord for the carrying out of His eternal economy.
Amen.
And that even man's history, God uses it to move. To accomplish his economy. And then we saw in Ezra the need for us to progress to bring forth God's presence.
Amen.
Right? And for the recovery of His house.
Amen.
And that begins with the altar of burnt offering. Right? We need to present ourselves to the Lord for His desire, not caring for our own things, but for the Lord's for the Lord's need. But still, that isn't enough. Our enjoyment in God's house needs to increase, right?
Amen.
It needs to be enlarged. This mingling of divinity and humanity needs to be enjoyed thoroughly by us. And so we saw in Nehemiah that the house also needs the wall, right? Which eventually becomes a kingdom for God's expression and his representation on the earth. And but this kingdom is still it's still not enough, right? We see here that although the kingdom is for God's representation, and it can function as a defense, right, for any attack, can wear off any attack of the enemy, God still wants to take us further, right? He wants to, as we see in the book of Esther, he wants us to know him as the hidden God, right? A God who hides himself. And so that was my prayer this week. Lord, how much do I realize that you are a hidden God, right? This is the last portion of the books of history. God wants us to know him in this way, right? And so we come to the book of Esther, and we see this vivid picture, right? Although God is not mentioned a single time, but he's there behind the scenes, operating, working out everything for the children of Israel's salvation, and even for his own purpose, right? Not only for them, but he needs the people, right? And so he's caring for them. He's providing them with the necessary salvation that they need. And then this week we see, I'll just briefly read some points from this Roman numeral. We need to realize that the omnipotent God whom we are serving is still hiding himself, especially when he is helping us. We cannot see him, and apparently he is not doing anything. Actually, in a hidden way, he is doing many things for us, as he is strengthening us with power through his Spirit into our inner man, so that Christ may make his home in our hearts.
Amen.
Right? And then it says that the God who hides himself is operating within us silently yet mightily.
Amen.
And then here is one takeaway point for us. We know God is behind the scenes and he's operating. How should we respond? Right? What is our responsibility? Point one says our responsibility is to cooperate with him.
Amen.
By responding to the inner sense deep within us. Whenever we sense God living and acting within us, we should say amen.
Amen.
For there in the depths of our being, secretly and ceaselessly, the God who hides himself is working.
Amen.
Right? The Lord lives in us, and he has this characteristic, right, of disliking ostentation. He's moving in us in a silent way.
Amen.
And I think we experience this day by day.
Amen.
Right? The Lord it's just a sense within us. In 1 John 2:27 it says that we have the anointing. We have God moving in us, working in us. But we just need to cooperate.
Amen.
Right? This is our responsibility. Whenever we sense the Lord speaking, his moving, his working in us, we just say amen.
Amen.
Right? This could be, you know, just in our daily living, while we're, you know, maybe we're with someone else, and you know, we don't really feel like the, you know, our situation is not ideal, and we kind of get drawn. We feel like we get drawn away from the Lord, and that encounter that we have, even in that instance, we should remember that God is operating in us.
Amen.
Right? Not only in the good situations, but even in the situations that we don't want. He's still moving. He's still working silently. And so we need to be sensitive to his operating, to his speaking, to his supplying. And we just say, amen.
Amen.
All right, Lord, amen. Thank you, Lord, you're moving in me.
Amen.
Amen. And then the next point that I wanted to share is related to Luke 18. In this parable, we see the Lord starts this off by telling them that they should always pray and not to lose heart.
Amen.
So my question this morning, saints, is any of us disheartened? Right? When we look at the outward situation, the world situation, what's happening on this earth, it's possible that, you know, whether through the news or something that we read, we get disheartened, right? We start to get worried, and we start to shrink back even. But the Lord's word here, he says we need to always pray.
Amen.
And do not be, do not lose heart.
That's right.
Right? And this is for our living, for our entire life. We should always pray. Amen. Always touch the Lord, always contacting Him. Don't be affected by the situation in the world, right? It can affect us, right? It's not, and then it'll continue to get worse, right? And so the Lord tells us, always pray. Don't lose heart. We need to run this race.
Amen.
And then towards the end, the Lord says, when the Son of Man comes, will He find faith? Right? Will He find faith on the earth? This points that the Lord has a need. Right? He needs some who would have the faith.
Amen.
Right? That's what in the Greek it means, the faith. But will He find it? Of course, we read Revelation. We know the Lord will find it. And eventually He will come back. Right? And He will answer the prayer the ones in Revelation 6, right? And so, but the Lord, His desire is to for us not to just be living as believers, but that when He comes, He would find us, right?
Amen.
He would find us having faith.
Amen.
Or we could say He would find us living by the faith Amen. Of the Son of God.
Amen.
Right? Living in faith. So it's not just enough for us to have faith,
right,
but we need to be linked to God, right? That's the matter of the linking faith. When we first receive the Lord, that's the first stage. But then it's like the electricity in here. You know, one day it was installed, but it was installed for a purpose, saints. Do you see that? We have this faith for a purpose. This faith so that we would live by it. Right? And just as we use this electricity, you know, every time we come to this meeting hall, right? The Lord would find us living by the faith. Right? And then He doesn't just leave us, but He's the one who is actually perfecting our faith. Right? We may feel like we don't have faith. We can't live by faith. We just need to look away to the Lord. Hebrews 12, it says that we run this race by looking away unto Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith.
Amen.
Right? So even if we're doing something as simple as having breakfast or having dinner, you know, the Lord wants to find us, you know, join to Him in that linking faith. Right, being linked to Him, living in that organic union.
Amen.
In every aspect of our living.
Amen.
Right, and so we need to continually
Amen.
Look away to the Lord.
Amen.
How do we look away to the Lord? Just one point. Just by always praying.
Amen.
Pray unceasingly.
Amen.
Touch the Lord who is in our spirit.
Amen.
I'll just end off with this, just by reading this. The linking faith is the divine requirement for the overcomers to meet Christ in His triumphant return.
Amen.
Linking faith is the triune God moving in us
Amen.
To link us to His unsearchable riches.
Amen.
Linking faith is the faith of the believers who have no trust in themselves.
Right.
Rather, their trust is in God.
Yeah.
When the Lord Jesus returns, He will find a number of overcomers
Amen.
Who are living by the linking faith,
Amen.
And will regard them as His treasures for His kingdom in the 1,000 years of His reign.
Amen.
So may we be the ones in the daily living, right? And all the things that we do, whether we're working, going to school, we would be living by this linking faith.
Amen.
The Lord speaks this parable, Luke 18, right after Luke 17,
yeah.
when He talks about the rapture. And it's, I think Shepherd mentioned, you know, we may be surprised, you know, who gets taken. It's the ones who are in their daily living, you know, when they're grinding at the mill, you know, they're still touching the Lord.
Yes.
They're contacting the Lord. They're living in union with the Lord.
Amen.
So may we abide in the Lord this week.
Amen.
Right? Abide in the union, the organic union, to live by this linking faith.
Amen.
Too late. Should we end it? Should I share?
Yeah, please share.
Share.
Amen. Bible reveal there's a God in the universe.
Mm-hmm.
Along this revelation, it also revealed how God has many names. Did you realize that your God, my God, has many names? Why? Every time Bible reveal his name, it always comes with a background. And also, why he revealed that name to the people. Let me give you an example. When Abraham going to offer Isaac, there's a name of Jehovah God revealed. Right? And that revelation depicts what kind of God he is. There are at least 17 Jehovah who. Those 17 cases, they all has a background. Now we come to this week. Saints, do you realize this is also a name of our God called Healing God?
Right.
Actually, this week the title is very serious. Why our God revealed to us that He is a healing God? What does that mean by healing God? A God high Himself. This name was revealed in the book of Isaiah. Like I say, every God's name revealed, there's a background. And do you know what's the background of Isaiah? The background of Isaiah, it was God's people. That Isaiah referred them in a condition, the ox know his master, the donkey know master's manger, but Israel did not know and don't even consider who God is. It was under this kind of background when it comes to the chapter 45. Even in chapter 45, before God revealed that He is a God high Himself, He said three times, beside me, there's no other God. Three times. Why? I believe if we truly know that our God is a healing God, personally, saints, your life will change. Do you know what does it mean by hidden God? That means He is invisible, also His presence is invisible. Do you need anyone to tell you how to behave? Serving one, do you need anyone to tell you how to serve? If you see that He's a God, hidden, He's visible, His presence is invisible, everything will be solving. Even now, He is invisible with us because He is a God high Himself. He is a God called Hidden God.
Amen.
Amen.
To know God, actually, saints, is a serious matter. That's why we have to have a fear when you come to the Word of God. The more revelation actually come into you and me, the more consciousness and fearness will come in. Would you like to know God visible or invisible? Well, actually, I have to tell you, we have no choice because we are in the New Testament age. But visible God is limited. When Lord was on the earth, He was limited. It was only when He became invisible as a life-giving spirit, we, the New Testament people, becoming so blessed.
Amen.
Whenever we go, He is with us.
Amen.
Do you have that consciousness? When you have, like I say, you will change. If you are the wife, you will change. If you are the husband, you will change. If you are the children, you will change.
Amen.
Why? Because this invisible God is with me.
Amen.
Even in the meeting.
Amen.
No need for anyone to teach you. There is one, like our brother said, anointing. This morning, did you follow the anointing in the meeting? If you are not, then you will only know He is a hidden God in doctrine. Oh, may we know our God, not in letter and not in doctrine, but in our spirit to realize today He is with me.
Amen.
Until the last day while I'm on the earth.
Amen.
Amen.
As we are praying for His coming, right? Right? You, I believe you have that desire for Him to come. And you want to hasten His coming. So you will pray. And I will have to ask you to pray for yourself. For what? For experience this hidden God in your daily living.
Amen.
Because this experiential aspect very much related to His coming.
Amen.
This is called linking faith.
Amen.
Are you linking to Him every day? Are you? You have to check with yourself. I have to check myself. If you are not exercise your spirit by this linking faith, you will not sense His healing God. Then this week's message become a doctrine. But when you really exercise in your daily life, when you are by yourself, remember, He's a hidden God.
Amen.
Amen.
You cannot see Him, but He can see you. He can see me. When you have that sense, you will be saved. You will be sanctified. You will be even protected. Okay? So may God keep us in Him. In this way, we will experience it.
Amen.
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 Amen. Oh, Lord Jesus.
Sometimes
Amen.
We can know you this way.
Amen.
You're the one who's very quiet.
Amen.
You're even hidden.
Amen.
Yet you speak to us.
Amen.
We can know you in a quiet way within us.
Amen.
We can be respond to this.
Amen.
We can respond to you, the hidden God.
Amen.
But you're solid, substantial within us.
Amen.
Thank you for this consciousness within.
Amen.
Let me know you day by day.
Amen.
Continue contacting you, Lord.
Amen.
Also, our faith is even perfected.
Amen.
You'll find faith on the earth when you return.
Amen.
All right, we pray that you will find faith when you return.
Amen.
Oh, gain us in such people.
Amen.
Oh, we'll have this Lincoln faith.
Amen.
Lord, yes, to give you this week, Lord.
Amen.
And living, oh, in the faith, Lord.
Amen.
We have every day that we have this contacting you.
Amen.
Prayer life, oh, in the hidden way.
Amen.
Lord Jesus, oh, we can truly experience you as the hidden God.
Amen.
Oh, give you whatever happening in our daily living.
Amen.
Lord, oh, Lord Jesus, just look to you.
Amen.
Allow yourself to infuse into us, Lord.
Amen.
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 Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord.
Would you like a simple verse? Matthew 9:28 says, it's about two blind men, and they say, Son of David, have mercy on us. Have mercy on us.